Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis tells us that there are a series of possible tlios when it comes to a woman who sees dam, and there's a possibility that the source of the dam was something other than the gufa. So if that's a plausible possibility, you have the right to make that assumption and be mitar the woman. So the Mishnah says, for example, tola b'chol davar sheyichal litlos, any reasonable tliya, any reasonable explanation of the source of the dam is acceptable. Shafta v'heim achayiv ov, if she was involved in shkita or the shkita around her, or we'll see later on if she's walking through a shuk shel tabachim, if there's a reasonable explanation that maybe the dam came from some animal and not migufa, or in this ask of examim, she was dealing with other blood, or she yashu beside a sukin bahen, then the Mishnah says, harga macholas harizu tolaba, that if she kills a macholas, you have the right to be told of the dam on the macholas. Adkam batola, so up to what size dam can you be told on a macholas? Maybe chanina benetignus omer ad kigris shel po. A certain size of a bean. The afapisha laharga, and you have the right to make that tliya even if she didn't kill a macholas. Fine. Then the Gemara says, harga macholas. Harga in, lo harga lo. So that sounds like you only have the right to be tola on a macholas if she actually killed the macholas. Mas nisa mani rishim gamliel hi detanya. Harga tola, lo harga in a tola, divir shim gamliel. Kodesh shim gamliel, you only have the right to be tola on a macholas if she kills the macholas. V'chamim amrim ben kach tola. V'chamim say, you have the right to be tola even if she didn't kill the macholas. Amrim shim gamliel, lidvarai ein kates, lidivir chaveri ein sof. That both my position and the Chachamim's position are respectively unreasonable. With Varai in Kate, She'en Lecha Isha Shetar Labayla, She'en Lecha Kol Mita Mita, She'en Ba Kama Tipe Dam. So if I'm correct, that you only have the right to be Tola if Harga, so that every woman in the world is going to be Asur Labayla, because everyone in the world is going to see Dam that is really sourced from a bug. And according to the Chachamim, the Chachamim say lo harga, so then you could always be tola. So both positions are extreme. So that middle position is most reasonable. That according to Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, you have the right to be tola even below harga, but only up to a sheer gris. Okay. Pause for a second. What is a macholas?
A louse?
A louse. So macholas seems to be a louse. How do we know that? So if you look at the Gemara in Daf Yotes Amud Beis, the Gemara has a statement of Ze'iri that distinguishes between Macholas de Rosh and Macholas de Guf. So presumably that's talking about a head louse versus a different kind of a louse, because there aren't too many other bugs that have head versions and other versions. So that's probably a good indication that a Macholas is a louse. And that's how the Mechaber writes in Sifei over here. That's Yotes Amud Beis, towards the bottom. That's how the Mechaber writes over here in Sifei. I'm just reading the relevant line out of context. Anutala lomar dam kinahu. So the tliya that we're talking about is of a louse, of a kina. Now, the context of that Gemara of Zir and that Yotes Amud Beis is a distinction between a macholas de rosh, the dam of which is close in appearance to the dam of dam migufa, mibsara, as opposed to other macholases. If you look in the Rishonim there, the Rashba, the Ramban, the Ritva, they point out that the others argue on Ze'iri, and we assume that you have the right to be tola, or the dam of other macholases is the same for our purposes as the dam of a macholas harosh. Because presumably, our Gemara here, ve'elecha kalsadim nesadim she'en ba kama tipe dam macholas, is not talking about dafka head louse, because head lice don't hang out in sheaths as much. So it's talking about other lice. So presumably, our Gemara is assuming, not like the distinction of Zairi, that there's no distinction between Machalos Rosh and other Macholoses. That's definitional, or parenthetical. We'll see, the Gemara later on has a Pishpesh. So Pishpesh may be a bedbug, but we'll get to that in due time. Okay, so at first glance, it may seem reasonable that the machlokas between Reb Chanina ben Antignos and the Chachamim in our Gemara here in Daf Nuches Amud Beis is as to whether the shear of a gris when it comes to Chachamim or the Tliya b'macholas is a standard Tliya like other Tliyas, standard Tliya like being told on the woman who's Veres Bashuk Shal Tabachim, or a woman who's in this ask of examen, we only have the right to make that assumption if she's actually a sakis b'examen, if she's actually involved in that matter that could produce dam from an outside source, as opposed to saying that when it comes to the shear gris, there's an absolute exclusion that the xer examen was never applied to a shear the less of a gris. The reason that it would not have been applied to that shear is because of the parallel to dam acholos, because of the concern that there's a certain prevalence of dama choles, which is often found in shear less than gris, and if we would have been gozer on some less than a gris, then elecha isha v'isha shetahara levayla. So, Reb Chanina ben Antignos, who says that you have the right to be tola on a macholes as long as it's less than a shear gris, even if lo harga, even if you didn't actually see a macholes, so he's assuming that the nature of the exclusion of Halchas Mikra Gris is different than a standard Tliya. It's not just that you have the right to assume that the dam is from an external source, from a macholes, if you actually see a macholes, but there's a blanket exclusion from the Xera of any dam Halchas Mikra Gris. And those Tanayim who do distinguish between Harga and Loharga, like the Shitas Chachamim, those Tanayim that do distinguish between harga and loharga, that you only have the right to be tola on a macholos if you actually have a macholos in front of you, so they're assuming that the taliyah of a macholos is similar to the other taliyahs. If you look at the way the Rambam quotes this halacha in Isurei Bia Perek Tes Halacha Vav, the Rambam makes no mention of Macholes. The Rambam writes, and the Rambam holds, we'll get to this later, that there's a distinction in Halacha between a Kesem al-Bisara and a Kesem al-Bigadeha, that the exclusion of Gris only applies to a Kesem found al-Bigadeha. But the Rambam there writes, Hanimsa al-Habeged eina mitame, achiyek gris ha-kliki, that you only have the right, a kesem that's found in a beged is only metame if it's more than a gris. And there's no mention of Taliyah v'macholos. So Rabbi Karp, among others, point out, Mishmeres HaTara, page Samach Beis, that it sounds like in the Rambam, the exclusion of Pachos Miki Gris from Dina Eksamim is an absolute exclusion, a carve-out from the Gzeira, not dependent on a Tliya b'macholos per se. Now we'll have to contrast that to the Rambam in Halacha Kaf Gimel, where in the context of a Kesem that straddles Begadeha u'Besara, the Rambam does talk about macholos, because there we are dealing with a Tliya b'macholos. The Rambam holds that the exclusion of Pachos Mikigris only applies al Begadeha. So in that context, it doesn't make a difference whether there's macholos or not. However, if it's a kesem that's partially al-bisara, so there you don't have an absolute exclusion of pachos miki gris. There you could only be matar the woman if there is a basis for talia, if there's actually a macholos there. So that's why the Rambam in Halacha Gimel presumably refers to dam macholos, because there it's relevant to determine whether there was a macholos, as opposed to in Halacha Vav, we're talking about the din of a kesem al-bigadaha, where there's an absolute exclusion of anything that pachos mikra gris. Good? Okay. Now it is true, Rav Ozner points this out in the Shir Yeshevet Alevi here, it is true that the Lashon HaMechaber in here Sefe calls Mancha Ein Bo Kazeh HaShir Anu Tolin Lomer Dam Kinahu. So maybe that's a mashmos that you're talking about a regular Taliyah, that you're Tola that Kesem Bachas Mikigris on a Dam Kino, but that Lashon may be somewhat Lavdafka. We're using Taliyah in the common sense of use it in the Hilchos Tzavim, but it doesn't mean that it's a formal Taliyah as other Taliyahs, because there's no indication here that you need to actually have a Machol Sefanein, we pass in Alpha Pi Shelo Harka. Okay. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be the cool element that we still are definitely understanding that the fact that there is Macholus around is what's creating the Heter?
No. Why?
But according to Chachamim,
we don't pass on Chachamim. We pass on Chanin and Antignus.
Isn't there a Pshar between the two?
No, that's the middle position. There are 3 days in Tanakh. There's Shagam Leel, Chachamim are the extremes, and Chanin and Antignus is the middle position. That Tolin, the Pachos Mikigris, Alpha P, Shavu Harga. And that's what we pass with that middle position in Tanakh. Okay? Rabbi Karp points out that this Mahalach, that a Kesem Pachos Mikigris is not a standard Tliya, but an absolute Karva from the Gzera, may also be reflected in a Shita of the Raivit. When we talk about being told of the gris, what gris are we talking about? So the Rambam, I skipped this line in the Rambam, but let's go back to the Rambam, Perek Tes, Halacha Vav again. The Rambam writes, Hanim Salabeged, Eina Matame Ashiya Kigris Akliki, Shehu Meruba, Shiesh Bo Kidei Tesh Adashos, Shalosh Shalosh. So what is a gris? A gris is a gris akliki. That's the shear that we find for a beheres in Negai and Perek Vav Mishnah Aleph. Mishnah Negam tells us that the shear for beheres, the minimum shear for Tumas Beheres, is a gris akliki. Kliki probably is the name of a place, at least most of the Mefarshim Mishnah understand that, which is a, if you're measuring it as a square, so it's a square that could hold Tesha Adashos, 9 lentils, 3 by 3, which is the equivalent, as the Mechaber writes over here, or the Ramah quotes over here, the equivalent to Lamed Vav Sa'aros, which you have there in the Mishnah in the Gayim as well. So that's what the Mechaber writes here. Logos or lakasam elam ken yeshbo kigris v'od, v'shira gris hu kites adashim, gimel al gimel, v'shira adashim kedal et sa'aros, Ramah shehu Lamed Vav Sa'aros, k'moshe kvuas v'gufa shel adam, which means that when you measure the area of 36 hairs, it doesn't mean 36 hairs out of one on top of another, it means 36 hairs with some room for skin between them. Okay, so we'll talk about what the actual shear of this is in the measurements that we use a little bit later, but that is the Rambam's definition of gris, the same gris that we have for Hilchos Negam, for the shear to be metame a beheres. Okay. The Ravid over writes in the end of Shaar Aksamim, the end of Shaar Aksamim, Os Kaf Aleph, that since the Gemara never explicitly tells us in the context of Kisamim what is the gris that we're measuring based on, as we have a Mishnah in the Goyim that tells us what a gris is for a Beheres, but the Gemara never tells us what kind of gris we're talking about in Hilchos Aksamim. So therefore, right, so Ravid, Misharin Bechol Pul Sheyizdami Lanu. So you're allowed to measure based on whatever gris, whatever bean you have access to. Afilu hu, whatever the common bean is. Afilu hu gadol, even if it's larger than, let's say, the shear for Beheres, even larger than the gris ha-kliki. Shoy amr kol shear ha-chacham l'hachmir, Chutz Mikigris Shel Kisamim Lahaka. The Rabbi says, it is true that we have a model for a Shia Gris in Hilchos Negayim, but as far as Hilchos Kisamim goes, you're not restricted to that Gris Hakliki. If you have a larger Gris, then you have the right to be Tola on the larger Gris. You have the right to be Metara women Less a kesem that is less than the size of the larger local or prevalent gris. So Rav Kar points out, if it was true that the whole basis of the exclusion of Halchos Mikra Gris is based on a Tliya B'Macholes, then the Raiva should have said, the Raiva could have said, if he wants to argue on the Rambam, that you have the right to be Mishar based on the size of your local Macholes. That if you have a Macholes that's larger than a Gris HaKliki, and you live in a place where there are larger Macholes, then you have the right to be Tola on a Bitola Kesem that's larger than a Gris HaKliki. But the Raiva doesn't say you have the right to be Tola on a larger Macholes. He says you can be Tola if there is a larger Gris. So it sounds like the Raiva is assuming that the exclusion of Gris was an absolute low plug. The original reason for the exclusion of a Gris had to do with the Macholes. The bottom line, Chazal decided that Zeres Samim doesn't apply Pachos Mikra Gris. And then, because when it comes to Ksamim, we go Lekula, you have the right to define a Gris based on your local Gris, and you're not Meshubit to the Gris HaKliki or any other official Gris that we have elsewhere. The Ramban, by the way, in Perek Dalet, Halacha Dalet, Hilchos Nida, the Ramban paskins that the starting point is that a shear gris is gris hakliki, like the Rambam writes. However, if you encounter a larger gris, then you can be mishayer based on the larger gris. So the gris hakliki is not an absolute, it's a starting point. If you don't have access to another gris, then you're Mishar based on a Gris HaKliki. But if you do have access to another Gris, then you have the right to be Mishar based on that larger size Gris. And that's what we pass in Shulchan Aruch. Over here in Sifei. After the Mechaber quotes basically the Rambam's Lashon of the Gris HaKliki, the Mechaber concludes, that if you do come across a larger gris, then you have the right to be tola on the larger gris. Why do you have the right to be tola on the larger gris? So if you look at the Taz here, the Taz writes a katan zayin, gris yoser gadol, de amrina de efshe de yeshkina yoser gadola. That we say you can be tola on a larger gris because maybe there's a larger kina. Maybe it could be tola on a larger gris because if there's a larger gris, it could be a larger kina. So according to what we're saying, you don't have to come on to that. It's not a function of whether there's a kina here per se, even if there's no kina of that size. But the way the Xeris Ksamim was formulated was that there's an exclusion of Pachos Mikra Gris. So then you have the right to exclude anything Pachos Mikra Gris, however you define a Gris. That seems to be the Aruch HaShulchan's Hasaga on the Taz here as well. The Aruch HaShulchan in Os Kavav, he quotes the Taz and he says he doesn't understand what one has to do with the other. Why do you have to tell me that there is a kina yoser gadol to justify being tola on a gris yoser gadol? So he says, you see from the Raiva, not that way. Shmami da dekimlu lechazal, shekol dam kina tiyavok gris hayoser gadol sheba olam. So there was, initially, when the gzeirah was formulated, an assumption that there's a correspondence between the size of dam kina and the size of a gris. Where you don't have a larger gris, so you have to operate based on the gris that you have. Meaning, you don't have to go look for your local gris if you don't have access to gris, so then you can fall back on the gris of Tiki. But So on some level, there's a theoretical assumption that there's a correspondence between whatever shiur gris you have in Dam Kina, but it doesn't have to be absolute. You don't have to establish that there is Dam Kina that size in order to be tola on a gris yoser gadol. Okay? Yeah.
Going back to the Rambam, what did the Rambam add that we didn't already know from the Ravid?
Say it again?
What did the Rambam add that we didn't get from the Ravid?
That
we didn't get from the Ravid?
The Ravid has no notion of gris akliki. The Ramah's starting point is like the Ramah, the default is gris akliki, but you have the right to be mishar based on a larger gris if you have such a gris.
And then according to the Ravid, the starting point could be smaller than the gris.
According to the Ravid, the gris akliki has no relevance per se. It's whatever the... see the lesson arrive it. Afavisha ain't love a metlit, lost tola kigris be macholas, ve ain't a tola be elakesim edom. There's no mention of Gris Akliki as a starting point. The Baf thinks that the Ramban is Cholak on the Rambam, because the Rambam has no allowance of Gris Agadol, that's clear, and the Ramban does. So the Ramban has elements both of the Ravid and the Rambam, and in Shulchan Aruch we assume, like the Ramban, that you have the right to be tola on a gris yoser gadol if you have a gris yoser gadol. Okay? Good?
So what does it matter that we're not saying it doesn't mean you have a large macholos? But mice, you're allowed to have a larger... it's a cooler if you're allowed to have a larger... Chris.
That's precisely the point. You don't need to justify it based on the existence of larger macholas. That's precisely the point. So the Chasson Sofer that we ended off with last time, who bases the calculation of shear gris on the original time of the Gzeira, is working with this mahalach in principle that the exclusion of a gris was an absolute carve-out and not based on a tliya b'macholos in any particular instance. Although the Ravid goes further than that, you don't have to say like the Ravid in order to have that approach. The Ravid was assuming or presenting the fact that because, based on the Rav Bezdin's position, that originally Xeris Ksamim was simply the Taurus, and the Issel Abayah was an extension of the Taros matter, and nowadays we don't have Taros, so then the Shear Gris is Nikba based on the time of the Xera. So you can still say that the Shear Gris is Nikba based on whatever the Shear Gris was without making that distinction between the Israel of Ayla and Taros. Ramosha points out, Ramosha also assumes Alacha, that the orientation of the exclusion Pachas Mikikris is an absolute exclusion. Ramosha writes in Chela Gimel Simen Mem Vav, the paragraph beginning Ula Inyan, Chela Gimel Simen Mem Vav, the paragraph beginning Ula Inyan, that if the Chasson Sofer is correct, so then you would come to what seems to be a difficult conclusion in theory, not necessarily in practice. Would the Chasson Sofer say, let's say that we are knowing Taurus again. So once we started being knowing Taurus again, or if we were knowing Taurus, then we'd have to be Mishar based on a contemporary gris. And would you say that if the Gzeira was also initially predicated on the Isser Labaila, not just on Taurus, then also we'd evaluate based on the contemporary gris? You don't have to say that in order to view the Gzeira as being based on or working off a original size gris. So Moshe writes, Mash Midvara, Shem I said Zera, Bishvila Isra Labaila, Haisasu is man as ever Pachos Miki Gris? Of Ima Yagam is man as the Indian Tara, Haisasu Ash, Shabalush and Zera and Merki Gris, Afka? Nayaka the Tamsha Asa Vishir Ki Gris, Ikab is man as there, Afal Pachos? So that's not true. He's saying, according to the Chazon Sofer, should follow that if we were knowing Tyros, so then you'd have to be Mishar based on our contemporary Macholuses, or if the original Zera was not only the Tyros but Labaila, we'd have to calculate based on our contemporary Macholuses. He doesn't think that's true. And the Il Staka writes that way also. The Chuvas Mil Staka Simon Kaf Zayin, this is briefly referenced in the Piskei Tshuva. That's the Piskei Tshuva, because it's a different part of that Mil Staka. But the Mil Staka in Simon Kaf Zayin, he assumes like the conclusion of the Chasam Sofer, who was later Vilam Tamei, meaning nothing to do with the fancy estimation based on the Raivit. He writes, Simon Kavzai and Chuvas Mil Staka. Hine niskashti v'shi'uram kiyalo l'shir gadol yoser mimasha efshir liyos damkina mispashet. So nowadays it looks like a shir gris is much more than whatever the amount of dam that could be produced from a kina is. She'efshir shi'im saken shi'ispashet damkina b'shefet v'zeh. Nowadays you can't find a damkina that would produce enough dam, that's the shear of a gris. The alcohol is there, nearly, he called me das chachamim kenu. But nevertheless, that was the nature of the xeris chazal. The efshar kiliyos vosan izman and kol shirim yoser gado, lefi erech anashim vosan izman. It could be that in their days, the lice were larger, and damkina was larger, and just like niskatnu ashirim for a kaveitza and a kazayas. So also in this katnu, the shiur a damkina. It could be at a certain point in history there were larger kinim. Nevertheless, lo nishtanu gam bezman hazeh shiur, but the shiur didn't change. Kiglo haisag zeirasan elo shiur kazeh. The way that zeir was formulated was that anything pachos mika gris is excluded from zeiros kzavim. At one point that was based on the reason of dam macholas, but even if that reason doesn't apply anymore, even if we don't have that size macholas, that prevalence of macholas is, the xeris still is formulated in such a way. And that is the more consensus approach among achronim, that the shir kigris is not a standard tliya. And therefore, even if we don't find a macholas of that size nowadays, you still have the right to be mako for pachos mikigris. That's what Ramosha writes in that shuva that we just quoted. You can take down Ramosha writes this in the second place as well. In Simon Chela Gimel, Simon Kuf Membeis Ostalid. Chela Gimel, Simon Kuf Membeis Ostalid. Gimel Kuf Membeis Ostalid. Ramosha assumes that the shir kesem is always kigris, and pachas mikigris is excluded, even if you know that the dam is definitely mikufa. That's what we discussed earlier, that machlokas between the Torah Sashlamim and the Reb Shlomo Le'Eger and the beginning of Simon Kuf Pei Gimel. Is that so? That if you have pachas mikigris that you know for a fact came mikufa, below hargasha, is Shitahor. So that was the position of the Torah Sashlamim, very beginning of Kuf Pei Gimel, that if it's Pachas Mikigris, even if it's Migufa, Shalom Bar Gasha, Shitahor. So that's where Moshe writes in those Chuvos as well. That's what the Rashash writes and Daf Nimbeis Amibes, Rashash and Nimbeis Amibes, that were always Tola Bishir Gris. And the Darkei Chuva has a colorful line. Simon Kuf Tzadi Sekata Lamed Vav. Darkei Tshuva Simon Kuf Tzadi Sekata Lamed Vav. Kuf Tzadi Lamed Vav. He writes, Pashahu. Dafila bivnos melachim ushar mifunakim gedolim. So even by royalty and other spoiled people. Shagufan ubigdeyan mitasin ikiyam ubidukim mikol shemetz lichluch vizia. Whose bodies and clothing are absolutely clean, and there's no way in the world there'd be any macholes that could cause trouble. Nevertheless, we're making for such people bepachos mikigris, because the nature of the gzeira was such that it was never extended to a kesem pachos mikigris.
Moshe went all the way to make like Torah Shlamim, you know, if you have a
That's what I was just talking about. Sidrei Tara is Machmir. Sidrei Tara in Sivkat and Samach Aleph assumes that if it's Vadai Migufa below Hargasha, if we know where the Dam came from, then even if it's Pachos Mikigris, she's going to be Temea. I don't know if there's a good English word.
Phrase
is the, you can attribute, maybe attribution. You can attribute the dam to a different source. Yeah, let's go with attribution. Is that good? Okay.
Was the dark etshuva also done on her gushes, or he wasn't getting wrong with that?
The dark etshuva,
he's just talking about women who just have...
He's talking about a kesem, which is in a situation where there's no way in the world again from a machalos. Okay. There is a line in the Yerayim, which it's questionable what the exact halakha of the Yerayim is, but some took the Yerayim to take a contrary position, that if there's no macholes of a given size, then you have no right to be mekel on a kesem that's larger than the size of a contemporary macholos, against most of what we've presented until now. We'll have to see if that's really the kavanah of Yerayim. The Yerayim writes in Simon Kavav, this is quoted or referenced in the Pesachei Tshuva here in Sifkat and Tes. Pesachei Tshuva, Sifkat and Tes. He quotes it here in Sefer Yerayim, Simon Kuf Sadi Beis, which must have been a different edition as far as a breakdown of Simanim. In our Yerayim, it appears in Simon Kavav. In the printed Yerayim, it's on the standard print of the Yerayim, it's on page Kuf Beis. But the Pesachei Tshuva quotes it over here. The line, the relevant line in the Yerayim, in the original, is the following. V'anan lo b'kinan shapir mahu gris shel kol. We don't have the proficient knowledge to define what's considered a gris shel kol. Hilkach, tzarech lihizahir b'ksamin, lefi shiko hadas. She'ein dam ma'acholes upar oshim rabam. So therefore, you have to be careful with ksamim based on your estimation, based on your evaluation, since we don't have the prevalence of adam macholes or adam pirosh, the prevalence of of lice and maybe bedbugs. Okay, again. Anan lo b'kinan shapir ma'ar grif shel po, helka tzarech lizar b'ksamim lefi shiko hadas, She'ein dam macholes uperosh and rabbi. Is the door open for a reason? Or? Okay. I'm going to close it again. So the Lechem Misimla, is the commentary of the author of the Kisa Shechad Aruch, Shlomo Gansfried, on Hilchos Nida. The Lechem Misimla has a short commentary and a long commentary. The short commentary is called the Lechem, and the long commentary is called the Simla, hence Lechem Misimla. So he writes in Simla, Sifkat Nid Beis over here, he quotes this Yerayim. And he understands that the Kavan of the Yerayim is that since nowadays we don't have large lice or bed bugs, we don't have lice that are the size of the Gris hakliki or anything near that. So nowadays you only have the right to be Mishayer a kefem based on the size of a contemporary macholos. That's how we understood the Urayim. That's the presentation that Rabbi Eider has in his first chapter, Ha'aret Tzadi Tess, chapter 1 of Ha'aret Tzadi Tess, and Rabbi Eider still doesn't need the book. That's the presentation of the Urayim, that the Urayim meant to express a concern that nowadays you have to be machmir to only be Mitara women based on the size of contemporary macholas. One second. And Lechem similar concludes that Baal Nefesh should be Choshesh Latzma, that a Baal Nefesh should be Machmir, like what he understands to be the Shitas HaYireya. Yeah, alright.
According to this, though, if we call women would have Macholasim at all.
We do have Macholasim, we do have lice.
We have such a small amount that it's Miyushin and Matsi that fall on the beds that we're.
Right.
What if we say that you should be
Machmer? No, I think you still have the ability to be Tola. The way the even this approach in the extreme would say that there is an exclusion of Pachos Mikigris where you based on your contemporary Macholas, even if you don't have too many Macholas around here, but they do exist, you could have it. The fact that you could have it is enough, since we paskin, we definitely paskin Afilu Loharga. So the fact that we pass an Afilu Loharga is saying you don't need to be toled on a particular known macholas that you have in your bed.
It sounds like from the Gemara that that's because it was very much of it. That the Gemara said it earlier, because it was never going to have a woman to make it.
Right, but bottom line, you pass in, bottom line, it's Afilu Loharga. So even if you don't know, if you don't have a macholas
sure,
here.
There's a real reason, there's a real svara to assume that there were macholas.
Okay. I think even the poskim that are machmir based on their understanding of the Urayim still allow you to be tola less than the machol shabbos manenu. I don't think anyone takes that more extreme position. Yeah.
To phrase his question in a slightly different way, if like modern butcher stores somehow never like lost any blood out of the regulations or something.
Right. So that kind of that then you could be tola b'shav shel tabachim.
So it's just that.
That's a different kind of a tulia. That's the whole. Argument that we're making that the nature of Tliya Pachas Mikigris is different than the other Tliyas.
Well,
so you don't need as plausible an explanation as to what the source of the dam was. But this position would say it doesn't have to be absolutely plausible, it has to be somewhat plausible.
So even for the Uranium, we're saying so.
Even for the Uranium, we're saying you have to evaluate based on the types of macholoses that we have nowadays. If that is what the array means.
But it still be qualitatively different to the other than the others.
I think so, yeah. Both the Rav Avadia and Rabbi Carr point out, Taras Abayis page Shin Samachtes, Taras Abayis page Shin Samachtes, Mishmeres HaTara page Samach Gimel, so 369 and 63. They point out that it's not so clear that that's the kavanah of the Urayim anyway. Even if it was what the Urayim meant, it's questionable whether you have to be choshesh, right? But maybe it's not even what the Urayim meant. Rav Avadia quotes the standard super commentary that's printed in the classic edition of the Urayim is called the Toafos Reim. On the bottom of the standard printing of the Urayim, the Toafos Reim, Os Ayin Beis, has the following explanation within the Urayim, that all he means to say is the following. The Analobakinin Shapir Mahu Gris Shelpo. So we don't know what's considered a Gris Shelpo. And then maybe we could even be Mishar based on whatever our pull is, even if it's bigger. Hilkaf tzarech liyizar b'ksamin lefi shikol hadas. There he means to say is that we still have to be concerned about samim lafuke the position of the Rav Avbezdin that we don't have to be concerned about Ksavim anymore at all. So he's actually coming Lukula, not Lukhumra. That you have the right to be Tola in a bigger gris, because we don't know what the classic gris is. And the Tzarech Li Zahir, that we're still Noheg Dine Ksavim against the Rav Av Bezdin. It's probably not the most compelling reading of the Urayim, because the Hilkach doesn't really fit there so well, and She'en Dan Macholos Paro Shemrab, it doesn't fit so well. So I would probably acknowledge that the read of the Machmirim and the Urayim may fit better into the Lashon. Now, be that as it may, even if that's the Kavanah Seyurayim, and even if the Lechem Esimla suggests that a Bal Nefesh should be Choshesh L'Asmo, the general thrust of Poskim is to be Mekel based on the classic Shir Gris and not be concerned about the size of a Macholes Bizmaneinu. Rav Avadia does quote from Shlomo Kluger. Now, Shlomo Kluger was Machmir. That since Niskanu HaShiurim, we have to be Mishaer based on a contemporary Macholas. And if you look in the Shuvas Marilla Chadoshos, Shuvas Marilla Chadoshos Simin Sadi Gimel Osvav, Shuvas Marilla Chadoshos Simin Sadi Gimel Osvav, he writes, Ve'eni Yodei and Ve'eza Tam Yishtanu Lididan. I don't know why this didn't should be any different nowadays. Shema all of the da'atka de macholas didan kitanam hem bididud. You have any reason to believe that our lice are smaller than the lice of yesteryear? Zuminay lucha. Nechatesi, that our lice are any smaller. So the author of the footnotes there in the Machon Yerushalayim edition of Maril Chadoshos says, mashma, that if we were able to scientifically prove or to historically, empirically prove that the size of our macholas are different, then maybe we'd have to be Mishar based on our Macholuses. So Marvel wrote, I don't know why you would think it should be any different. Why? What basis do you have to believe that our bugs are any smaller? Mashma, that if we knew our bugs were smaller, that would have impact on the day. You could argue that he was saying that rhetorically, and even if you could prove it, he still wouldn't change his position. So it's not Bachreach. But Magia thinks that the Marvel fits into that camp of maybe the Urayim and of Shlomo Kluger. But again, the general approach in Poskim is that we're not concerned about the Macholes Shel Zmanei. Now we'll have to talk about the din of Pishpesh, which may be different than the din of Macholes. I think we'll get to that next time. But let's just briefly talk about what is the gris hakliki. One second, I'm just going to try to finish up. What is a shear gris? So Rav Moshe has half a line in Yaradeya, Chela Gimel, Simen Nun Vav, Os Beis. Chela Gimel, Simen Nun Vav, Os Beis. Rav Moshe assumes that the shear gris is basically the size of a U.S. penny, which is about a diameter of 19 millimeters. And that is generally the prevalent position among Poskim in America, that if a kesem is less than the size of a penny, then you have kulas ksamim. Then that's not metame. And that lechem is similar to be quoted earlier. He has a drawn-to-scale diagram of a contemporary copper German coin for the 1850s, which he says is the shear of a gris, and I put a penny on top of that German coin. It's basically the same size as a penny, maybe within a millimeter or less.
That was before or after the printing
heat? I'm sorry? Okay, so it looks like it's basically the size of a penny. And the Mishmeres HaTorah quotes that most poskim, many poskim assume that way. If you look in the Masifta Gemara, the Masifta Gemara in the back quotes a range of some contemporary poskim going between 14 millimeters and 21 millimeters. And he points out there that a 5 agura coin is 19.5 millimeters diameter. But in America, we usually assume that it's the size of a penny, and that's at least one use for pennies. Not much else to do with the penny these days, but it's important, if anyone's paskening in Amaras, to always have a penny in your pocket or your wallet, because it's useful for determining a shear gris. If you were to be mahmir anamacholas bismanenu, shells manenu, like that Urayim and the Shlomo Kluger, what's that shear? So if you look at Shear Shevet Alevi, Shear Shevet Alevi on this sif in Shulchan Aruch quotes that a contemporary louse has a diameter of 5 to 6 millimeters, which would be less than a third of a penny. In my briefly looking around the internet, it looks like the standard size, the larger size of a contemporary louse, at least what I found, is 2 to 3 millimeters diameter. Maybe there are bigger lice in Bnei Brak. And as far as the bed bug, according to zapbug.com, the largest size bed bugs that we have are 4.5 millimeters. Now, bed bugs do more readily produce blood than lice do, and they in color are redder than lice, although some lice may be noted to red, and we'll have to talk about next time about a pishpish, whether a pishpish is a bed bug, and whether that din is different. Rav Vosner does write that what do you do if someone wants to be machmir on himself to, if you have a cast and pachas miki gris? So do you have the right? The general consensus of the poskim is that we're not machmir on a macholas shels manenu, that we're makel on a cast of less than, let's say, a penny. So a husband wants to say that I want to be machmir on myself, I want to go like the more machmir position, even though we have a cast and pachas miki gris. So does he have the right to be machmir? So Rav Vosner quotes the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer, Yaradeya Simen Kuf Memtes, Yaradeya Simen Kuf Memtes. The Chasam Sofer is talking about an Eishes Chaver who found a Mare that was reddish, but a shade that the Posek was Mekalan. And this Chaver wanted to be Makar on himself. So there was a Tzak that the Mare is not a Mare Tame, but the Chaver wanted to be Makar on himself. So does he have the right to do so? At his wife's expense.
So there's two things here. It was smaller than Kashir.
No, the Chasam Sofer.
What was the case?
So first, the Chasam Sofer's case was about the shape. The Shevet Levi wants to know what about the shear. So in addressing that question, he goes to Chasam Sofer talking about a shape. Chasam Sofer has a case where the Tzak was that the shade is a Mara Tameh, that the Mara Tahor, and the Chaver wanted to be Makar on himself to treat it as a Mara Tameh. Does he have the right to do so? So the Chasam Sofer writes the following: Kevan shekein dark and shel prushim shem Yisrael izar bidarash arba chacham. Since we do have a misora that prushim have the right to the practice of separating themselves, of avoiding something where there is aras chacham, it's usually in the context of treifos, of machalz asuros. Behemah shahar b'chacham, there's such a concept that if there's a shayla, even if the chacham paskin that it's kasher, you want to be machmir to not eat it, so there's such a notion. So he writes, Nihi debe'es ha'nisuin lo'ya misnaga da'im b'prishas. This chaver, when they got married, he wasn't such a parish. Rakishari tamid the chachamim, so he was like a normal run-of-the-mill tamid chacham, but he wasn't super machmir. So lo masi lemitan lo kablis alai shetiyah chasidu parish. So the wife has no right to say, when we got married, I didn't accept upon myself that you're going to end up being more machmir than you were when we got married, that you're going to become a chasidu parish. Al arina kena shenis lezabacher ragil huzesh asalias parish v'chasid. She married an average kol guy, but he's on the path, he's on the trajectory to become a parish v'chasid. Ziknei tamid chacham kolz man shemaskinen. Kishem she'amru ashrei l'nishasein shel eldad emeida shesachu l'nevua who adin koma dregas malas avodas Hashem simchei l'ishto u'kishesavachas, even though she's screaming I don't want to accept her kumros armin and hashu disrai When they all alone nishtabi lazeh, hanira lini yasaiti. So the Chazon Sofer says, important message for a certain tshuva, that everyone is on a certain trajectory, everyone's aspiring to come to a higher darga. And if a woman marries an aspiring Talmid Chacham, then she is buying into the whole product, and she has to expect that he's going to become more of a parish and a chassid as life goes on.
Even if he starts, the marriage starts when he's at like 1.5.
Right.
He's aiming for 10.
Right.
So it's not really nicker, but that's
but the woman has to realize that's where he's going. So, however, Rav Under says, that's true, the Chazon Sofer's context is about the shade. The shade of the Mara. But Pachos Mikigris, that's something else. Pachos Mikigris is an absolute exclusion from the Xeris Summon. So you have no right to be Machmir on Pachos Mikigris, because that was never subject to Xeris Summon to begin with. He says, maybe if you want to be Machmir on a Macholosh of Bismanenu. So you have a Kesem that's 8 millimeters in diameter. So if you want to be Machmir on a Kesem that's more than 5 millimeters in diameter, like the Lechem and Simla, the Baal Nefesh Yafesh L'Asmo, like maybe the Urayim, like your Shlomo Kluger, so then maybe you have the right to do so. But less than that, definitely, even the Chazon Sofer would agree, you have no right to be Machmir that far. Rav Avadya quotes in Daras Abayis from the Ben Ishtai, page Shinai and Beis from Daras Abayis, that the Ben Ishtai noted that women had the practice of being Machmir even on a Kesem Pachos Mikigris. Rav Avadya writes that that's not a minug. That's there's no basis for that in halacha, and that was shelo b'rasa b'chachamim. And the only reason that happened, that women were machmir and pachos mikigris, is because they were lazy. She'einan rosas lidfok al dlosas bali arav. They didn't want to bother the rav. They didn't want to ask the shaila laharis dam b'chachamim. And he quotes from the Sefer Amos Kodesh, who was very upset at the Sephardi poskim for not passing on these matters with the same degree of emphasis and involvement as the Ashkenazi poskim, that leads to unnecessary chumros. So to the extent that the Ben Ishtai reported such a practice, that was an inappropriate practice. Okay, we're out of time. Next time, I want to discuss further nafkaminas as to whether the nature of Pachos Mikigris is an absolute zera or not. Do you mind if we do another chavur tomorrow? I'm sorry?
It's good.
Yeah?
What's the mara here at the beginning
of Seder?
What's the mara mokum for the first of
Because I just want to finish mara about shit.